Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, we're talking about who we are in Christ, the Anointed One, who He is in us, and the power and authority that we have as new creatures, new copies. Let's turn over there to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What a good one.
Man. Oh, that whole
17-21.
Well, I got that one marked up 4 and 5.
You can't see any white on your face.
And oh Lord, where do you start? Oh yeah, 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you.
Yeah.
For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many rebound to glory, to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Day by day. What.
You're newer and better looking every day.
Amen.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Though the outward man perishes, you're going through things. It doesn't matter because the spirit is eternal and the spirit is infused with the life of God. Yeah. You know, we've been talking about who we are in Christ and that changes everything.
Yeah.
This is the message that changes everything.
Everything.
It's not the makeup I put on.
Yeah.
It's not the treatment I have. It's the word of God and the new birth. That we have passed from death unto life.
The reason it's called the Word of God is because it's His bond.
Yeah.
It is His Word.
Yeah, it's His Word.
He has given His Word.
Yeah. 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 The moment you act on the Word, God makes Himself responsible for your results. The moment you take the Word, there's revelation coming. But faith requires corresponding action. So the initial act of faith is to move your mouth. If your faith ain't strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never move a mountain.
I'm going to tell you what he said. Don't ever face your giant with your mouth shut.
That's right.
Never run your giant.
David came after him.
Yeah, but he's covenant talking. He's talking covenant.
He won that fight. In the name of the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
He put angels in that deal right then.
The Lord of hosts.
The Lord of hosts is angels. The Lord of the angelic armies of God.
He put an angel
behind that rock.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the saying or the speaking, the spirit of faith, I believe and I speak. And so the speaking part is David won the war of words. Before you win the fight of faith.
Oh, you have to.
And he's just saying, and saying, Jesus said, you say. And so the confession of your faith in Romans 10:9-10 is you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession precedes the experience of salvation.
That's right.
And so your identification with Christ is activated by an identical confession of faith. In other words, when you make a confession, that means to say the same thing. So your identification with Christ, now your faith is, I'm going to agree with God that I am who God says I am. I have what God. So your confession and the words of your mouth actually ignite your identification. And so that confession that Jesus is Lord, we were on an airline and we were sitting in the emergency row some time ago. And the lady comes up to us, the steward says, will you help us if you have an emergency? And we just nodded. And the lady said, I must have a verbal response. And I said, yes, ma'am, we will help you. And she said, okay. In other words, that emergency row was so critical, she can't just have a nod. And so when it comes to your faith and your confession of faith, you can't just give God a nod. Mm-hmm. He needs you to say something about that. He needs you to declare that. And so your confession.
And you don't use the word kind of when you're doing it.
No. Yes, ma'am.
I'm kind of going to go. How do you kind of go? Of course, that's a habit.
So you agree with God in your confession.
Yes, you do.
And that confession precedes the reality, the experience of salvation. Mm-hmm. And so the Lordship of Jesus, and you confess him as Lord. And Paul says, we have the same spirit of faith, same mm-hmm. thing David had, same thing Joshua and Caleb had, mm-hmm. same thing Jesus mm-hmm. had, same spirit of faith. And so the same means identical.
Identical.
We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's our identification. The same identical spirit, same spirit of faith.
Amen.
And if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he'll make alive your mortal body.
He quickens
it. I'll tell you, that's a healing scripture if there ever was.
Yeah, that's how it she is. Got healed from that brain tumor was
well,
Romans 8:11.
Well, on the way down the hall to
tell us
surgery.
That. Tell us that.
I had an inoperable brain tumor, and so I was headed into surgery to have a biopsy, see what that was. And on the way, because I believe God sends his word, he always sends his word to heal. Mm. And it's a timely word, right in time.
Yeah,
just what you need. Psalm 107, verse 20.
Yeah, he sent it.
And the Lord sent this word to me, Romans 8:11, that the same spirit that dwells in you is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and he will quicken your mortal body by that same spirit. And I took hold of that. And Mark always talks about laughing, you know, that the result of revelation knowledge is, I got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not my problem. It's Jesus. He already spoiled principality. He already dealt with this problem. So on the way to surgery, here I was with this gizmo on my head looking up at the ceiling tiles and, you know, I started laughing.
I started laughing.
The Holy Ghost is in me.
Yeah.
He lives in me.
Wow.
That tumor's nothing, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I went into surgery laughing.
Yeah.
And
6 hours later,
you know the rest of the story.
Here comes the surgeon. He said, that tumor that was in every test has just disappeared, and we cannot find it anywhere.
Well, of course.
The same spirit that raised Christ.
That's called resurrection power.
The doctor, Dr. James Edward Marr, Jim Ed Marr, and he was my AME. He gave me my flight physicals. He delivered Kelly and John. Well, Marcy, his wife, she had a brain tumor. Mm. So he called me. He said, I want you to anoint her with oil, according to James 5.
Yeah.
Sure. So I was there with him, and they were taking her in. She's on the gurney. I anointed her with oil in the name of Jesus. And went to James 5 and did all that. And then they rolled her in. Well, we were in a private waiting room right there next to the operating room. Well, the doctor wasn't in there all that long. And he's a good friend of Dr. Mars. He came in there and he said, Jim Ed, well, when he started doing that, I mean, he got nervous. I don't know what to tell you. He said, I got in there. Now, he said there was a dent in her brain where that thing used to be, but it's gone. So it happened right then.
Wow.
I mean, he said there was still a dent where it had been.
Wow.
Praise God.
I'm telling you, this book is alive.
And resurrection power melts down, just like it did in Jesus when he was raised from the dead.
Well, look, let's go over and look at this, because there's a clue to it right here in this fifth chapter. When you look There we are always confident, knowing that while we're home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
And so forth and so on. Now, the 17th verse. Therefore. If any man or any person.
Anyone. Yeah.
Be in Christ, in the anointed one.
Well, yeah.
He is a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things are passed away.
Mm.
Behold, all things have become new. What's the old thing? That old sin nature.
Yeah.
I mean, the night I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it was about the second day of November, about 8 o'clock in the evening. And it took me about 30 seconds to close my mouth. Profanity, Louis, gone forever.
Wow.
I was a new creature. I didn't know it. I just liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that verse existed.
Wow.
Anyway, now, therefore, if any man be in, he's a new creature. Yeah. And Brother Hagin said, no, I'm a new creature.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a new creature.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a new creature.
So the guy that did that is no longer exists.
Yeah, he said, and one of his friends said, well, Kenneth, no.
He said, I'm a new creature.
No, he said, I died. No, you didn't. I'm looking at you right now. No, he said, I died.
I passed away.
But now notice, here, look at this. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or holding against them their trespasses, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God.
Yeah.
Right now.
Wow.
For he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God in him.
Made.
Yeah, made that
made.
Way. Yeah.
And people bent out of shape. I sang a song, I'm the righteousness of God, and Christian disc jockeys wouldn't play it.
Oh.
Who does he think he is? I don't think who I am. I know who I am. I read the book.
Yeah.
I read the operator's manual.
Yeah.
The creator, the manufacturer's manual. And he made me.
Yeah.
He had the authority to do that. Yes. God said to Abram, I have made you.
I made you.
I've already done this.
Yeah.
I have made you
the
father of many nations.
Yeah.
Had the authority to do it.
Well, part of that, though, I mean, we saw this in Bible college years ago, and they said that Abram, God changed his name to Abraham, which is the sound of Jehovah in the middle of Abraham. So God changed Abraham's identity.
Yes, he did.
And his destiny. And so Abraham, every time he'd introduce himself, he'd say, I'm not the old guy I used to be.
That's right.
I got a covenant with God now. Mm-hmm. And so his name. So God's a master at changing those.
That
identities.
H is Hashem.
Yeah.
It is the He in Yod He Vav He. The unspeakable name of God. He changed his name.
Wow.
It is the first record of any name change in a blood covenant.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Now, the devil picked up on it.
Yeah.
And, of course, they started doing voodoo using chicken blood.
Oh.
And they get off into a trance. So he's trying to imitate the thing. But he can't.
Huh.
Now, my background being American Indian, well, they got called Indians by Columbus. They were tribes. They were tribal people. He thought he was an Indian. They wound up being called Indians. We did. But they had blood covenants. Because they didn't have any law.
Yeah.
Well, that was... That
is the law.
That's the reason God didn't kill Cain. There wasn't any law against it.
Yeah.
So a law book had to be written.
Wow.
And our laws are based on these laws.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had to begin this animals shed their blood in the garden for clothes.
Yeah.
15th chapter of Genesis, that the blood of animals. Mm-hmm. 17th chapter of Genesis, the blood of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that continued all pointing to Jesus.
Yeah.
So that he would have the right and the authority and the power to make us the righteousness, right standing with him.
Yeah.
To make it.
Yeah.
Now, holiness is a different thing. That's a product of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. You can grow.
This is the faith.
You can't grow in righteousness. Uh-uh. No, you'll never be more righteous than the day you make Jesus your Lord. So that was a radical revolutionary revelation for us. I mean, we were raised in a spirit-filled church, Pentecost, Assembly of God Church. We didn't have no concept. When Dad Hagin came and said, Jesus made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, he said, God wouldn't make an unrighteous new creature. If you're a new creature in Christ, you must be the righteousness of God in him, which meant I'm free from the sense of struggling to be accepted by God. I'm no longer struggling to be accepted.
And you get rid of that unworthiness.
And guilt and shame.
In that song, when he was on the cross.
Yeah.
I changed the lyrics right there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Instead of, I'm not worthy.
Yeah, no one's worthy. Really, no one's worthy.
No one's worthy.
Yeah.
No one's worthy of such mercy.
Yeah, yeah. And really, I like to say this. Your identification with Christ is a group picture. What happened on the cross in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see Jesus dying, Jesus buried, Jesus raised. But you come over to Paul's letters and he says, we were there, we were there, we were there. But in the four gospels, it is a photograph of redemption, but Paul's letters is an x-ray. An x-ray is the same picture. It's a different kind of a picture. An x-ray sees inside you.
Yes, it does.
So Paul says, let me tell you what happened not only to Christ, but let me tell you what happened in Christ. And so the x-ray is what happened in the spirit. The x-ray is what God saw, what the devil saw, what angels saw. So Paul's revelation literally shows you that the death and resurrection of Christ is a group picture. What's the first thing you look for in a group picture?
Me.
Is you find yourself. Everybody says, look at you say, no, there I am right there on the cross in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Yes. Made alive together.
So when you read Ephesians, you're going, oh, I think the first revelation was very revolutionary, was reading Ephesians 1 in first person. Mm-hmm. I am accepted. I am chosen. I am blessed. All
I'm
of
righteous.
Those things, I thought, whoa, that's me.
Wow.
And that's how God thinks about me.
Yeah.
Yes, and when you, let's go back over there to the book of Ephesians. And you come down to this second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And you.
And you.
And you.
That's talking to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God.
But God.
But God.
Now, to do a study of God, really in the first covenant, it just says God this and God that and God that. But you need to go back and see who's talking.
Yeah.
In the beginning, Elohim. All three of them. All three of them.
Yeah, Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But then it's different, the names of God. Then He said, I'm Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I'm the God that's more than enough.
Yeah.
But then he said, I am Yahovah. Jehovah. I am Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah.
I'm the God that heals you. And for healing to pass away, you'd have to change your name.
Right? Yeah. True.
But the point that is heavy on my heart is this.
Yeah.
The identification with Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was me hanging on the cross.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
And I saw it in the spirit like this. In fact, I have an outline on it in here somewhere. But I must resist actively everything he bore for me.
That's right.
Well, everybody is quick to say, well, he bore my sins in his own body on the tree, resist sin. Well, yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. But he bore my sickness and disease at the same time.
Yeah.
So I resist sickness and disease.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He was made a curse for me, which included spiritual death and poverty.
Right.
So I resist poverty.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a funny thing. When you begin to preach that prosperity gospel, then everybody gets mad. Well, of course they do. Of course they do. Mm. Because the devil had them convinced they had to be poor to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jesus was poor.
Jesus was poor.
Yeah, what did he need a treasure for if he's poor?
Yeah.
That was stealing. There's enough money there for him to steal. Where did they get the clothes they put on the madman of Gadara? Yeah.
Well, I heard a preacher, we was driving through St. Louis, and I heard a preacher on the radio years ago, and he said, poor Jesus, he's so poor, he had to borrow a boat to preach out of. I said, well, a guy that can walk on the water don't need to borrow
no
boat.
Doesn't need a boat.
I said, the only reason he borrowed the boat is he filled it up.
Yeah.
And then this preacher said one more thing. He said, poor Jesus, so poor, he said he got buried in a borrowed tomb. I said, that don't mean he's poor. It's a bad investment to buy a tomb for 3 days.
That's right.
He ain't planning on staying there.
That's right. And you know what? What you just said about Jesus becoming sick for us. He became sin for us. He became sick. That's what I meditated on before I went into surgery.
Praise God.
And I knew that Jesus took my sin. I became one with him. He lifted off of me my whatever brain tumor, whatever it is.
We keep having these five-minute broadcasts. What'd you say there at the lunch? What'd you say?
And by his stripes, I am healed.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We'll be back in a moment.
Praise the Lord.
Identity is an important topic. How you identify influences how you see and present yourself, the people you surround yourself with, and how you approach each day. As a believer, your identity can only be found in Christ Jesus. Understand how Jesus embraced the human condition so you could live in him as he lives in you. In this book, The Power of Identification with Christ by Mark Hankins. Mark draws from over 50 years of pastoral and traveling ministry experience to answer the questions of what, why, and how on the topic of your identity in Christ. Finding this identity is a choice, and here you will be given the tools on how to make that choice. Do not allow your supernatural identity to be lost or stolen. God identifies you with Christ, and his death, burial, and resurrection opens up who you are. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened to you. The same life, victory, joy, and blessing in Christ are now in you, and this changes everything. Order The Power of Identification with Christ by Mark Hankins for only $12.99. And receive the Ephesians 1 prayer scripture card free with purchase or free by request. Go to kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. God has given us a supernatural identity through Christ that we might live in him and he might live in us. This offer is good for 60 days. Order your copy today. Welcome to KCM.org, your study center for victory. Get real help for real life problems. Select a topic for answers straight from the Bible. Then believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply what you've heard and read to experience real change in your situation. Each step provides pages of articles, video teachings, topical scripture lists, and recorded prayers and confessions from the Copelands. KCM.org has made it simple to tap into God's wisdom for real help in your life. KCM.org meets you where you are.
If you want to enjoy a life of success and victory, then you have to do things God's way. The good news is God has made a way for you to enjoy this kind of life he has for you. He sent Jesus to die in your place and pay the price for sin, which separated you from God. Then Jesus was raised from the dead, victorious over sin and all the powers of darkness. Now he's inviting you to share in his victory by being born into God's family. If you're ready to leave the life of darkness and defeat behind, then I encourage you to pray this with me. Lord, I call upon your name today. I give you my life. Be my total victory. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Praise God. You've just been born into his family. God has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and made you a born again citizen of his kingdom. You are a joint heir with Jesus, sharing in all the rights and privileges he has. If you'd like to learn more about your new life in God's family, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift they would like to send you for free, and it's called the Salvation Package. There's a book called He Did It All For You and two brochures to help you get started reading your Bible. These resources will help you understand your new life and identity in God's kingdom. God, your loving Heavenly Father, is so ready to teach you how to live your life in victory. To request your Salvation Package, go to kcm.org. If you have just received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, call us and let us know. We want to rejoice with you for the new life you've received. Our prayer ministers here at KCM are licensed and trained in the Word of God, and they are ready to pray in faith with you over any situation you may be facing.
Thank you for being with us today, and don't miss tomorrow because there's some good things coming I already picked up in my heart. But until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Mark and Trina Hankins, reminding you, number one, God loves you. Number two, we love you. And it works because Jesus is Lord. Yes, hallelujah.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, request the Salvation Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, free on kcm.org/salvation.